Here is getting a feel for the theme today. And before I get into the theme, I wanted to go ahead and just highlight some of the things that we have said the last couple weeks. I think it's really important for us as we hear we're heading into a new chapter here at FPC. And Pastor David Buher is going to be a pastor here pretty soon, and we're all excited about that. But I think one of the most important things that we can remind ourselves is how to take care of David. And that's really important. And we need to hold each other accountable because it's a heavy responsibility. And one of the first things I said is that David is a worship leader. He will lead you in worship. That's one of his titles. That's in a very important part of his ministry. In fact, it's a huge responsibility. And before we really understand what it means to know David as a worship leader, we have to understand the concept of worship. And we learn that worship is something that God wants us to do every second of the day. He planned it that way at the very beginning. God always intended us to hear him, to see him, and to feel his presence. That is his plan for us. That's his love for us. That is his desire for us, is to feel him, to see him, and to feel his presence. But we know that what sin did is that we took that all away. So God continues to remind us through the Holy Spirit that God wants us to be in his presence, wants us to be talking with him, be with him in the moment with Jesus Christ, with God. But also God does something for us every day. God gives us something in the week called Sunday worship. That to me is a date from God. I shared with you before that I've had a date with my wife for the last 30 some odd years. It was the very thing that we were told that really helps us to kind of keep things together. Now we meet each other every day. We had definitely have dates, but we had one time which was our sacred time, a time that everyone knew that this was our time. It's a time that we got together. In the morning, on a Sunday, this is a sacred time. You're allowing for everybody out there that this is a time in which you meet with God. You're saying something very large, but not only that, God truly puts together a worship opportunity where you can hear God, where you can see God, and where you can feel God. We hear God by God's word. By hearing God's word being preached, by hearing God's word being sung, we read it, but also we feel God, we see God. God gives us the cross, God gives us the Bible, God gives us communion so that we can see God. He wants us it, but also in the mix of all that, he wants us to feel his presence, his living presence. And we talked about the sermon for David. David is going to be doing this for the rest of his ministry here. One of the most important parts of his ministry is to explain God's word. David is a great preacher. And what I mean by being a great preacher, he takes his responsibility seriously. He knows that God is using him, that he has to take time to bring that word together, to be able to see the heart and be able to reveal that heart to you. It's a very heavy responsibility. You have experienced David's style. His style is different than mine. You could say amen to that. It's different. But it doesn't mean it's bad. It's a good thing. You know David's style, and you know how he preaches. So when it comes to critiquing David, this is an important thing. Here are things you cannot do. Here are things you can do. If he's preaching heresy, go to him. Session, go to him. You're not going to have that from David. Heresy is a total thing, a terrible thing. But if he happens to misquote some illustrations or some statistics, go to David and say, David, I think the illustration we're using or the statistic you were using is wrong. If he plagiarized, you can go to him too. I found that you got a sermon from John MacArthur and you're saying the same sermon here and you're not giving him credit. He's never going to do that, but this is some of the things that we can do as members. But also, you can question his primary theme. If you feel like he's preaching and his primary theme is not what was a part of the scripture, you can go to David and say, hey, David, hey, I think that maybe you have missed that point. It's okay. We want to hear that. But the things that we cannot do, and I want you to encourage it, don't critique his style. That's his style. That's the way he's going to preach. Just enjoy it. Allow it to be a part of the sermon, the word that's being presented to you. Remember, this is not a speech. This is a sermon. This is where God is revealing his word to you, and our goal is to listen and to receive. Also, when it comes to time, don't go up to David and says, you preach 5 minutes over time. David is very well aware of the time. We know that. It's there. We see it right there every morning. Right now, it's almost top of the hour, and I know I have very little time for the sermon. And I hate that pressure. And I feel like I can rob you of God's word so we know the time. If he goes over time, just say, thank you, God. Thank you, because God is using this time to give God an opportunity to reveal himself even more. So please support him in that. He needs support and compliments. So when it comes to David as a shepherd, we saw it very clearly last week that God is compared to as a shepherd, which is something very familiar with the Jewish people. They know what a shepherd is. They know how much the shepherd loves his sheep. Very important. They see that. And you see that God is revealed as a shepherd. It's described as a shepherd in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we see very clearly Jesus Christ says, I am the good shepherd. And he describes what that shepherd is. He loves his sheep. He feeds his sheep. He knows his sheep. Well, God does something crazy. God says, I'm going to ordain. I'm going to call people to become my many shepherds. This is an important part of God's ministry to us. Just as God gives us the Holy Spirit, which allows us to know that God is with us at every moment of the day, God also provides us with a mini shepherd, an extension of God, because he knows how wonderful and how beautiful a shepherd is to his people. It's important. It's a responsibility. It is very, very, very difficult to be a shepherd. So what a shepherd does, he's not a professional. There was a time where pastors were professional. They did everything just right, and they go in the corner, and they go in their study, and they kind of leave people alone. No, being a pastor is something personal. And what the shepherd does, he gets to know you. He gets to know you. He prays with you. He knows you. He spends time with you. His desire to love you is to know you and allow you to know that you are very special. In that time of loving and knowing you, he's going to provide nurturing. He's going to challenge your faith. He's going to bring God's word into your life. He's also going to protect you. He's going to pray for that protection. He's going to stand up for you. If people come up to me, whatever, and start ratting or start complaining about an elder or a staff person, one of the first things I do is I shut that person down. I try. I say, hey, let's do this right. Let's glorify God. Let's take your concern and let's go to that person. That's the correct way of doing that. But also, David, as your shepherd, you need to know him. He needs that. Being a shepherd can be very lonely. Right now, David has this beautiful privilege, this opportunity. He already has some great friends. So I want you to know that people that don't know David, don't assume that he's getting all the attention that he needs from these friends. Get to know him. Call him up. Say, hey, I want to take you out for lunch. Put this on your calendar for the year. I'm going to take Pastor David out at least once for breakfast, lunch, or supper. I'm going to sit down or take him to Chena Hot Springs, but I'm going to get to know David. That's an important part of your relationship with David. Take care of him. Protect him. After a while, after a couple of years, when the honeymoon's over, we know what happens when the honeymoon's over. People start to complain. And when they start to complain, you sit back and say, hey, if you got something to say about my pastor, hey, I want you to take it to him, but you be careful how you talk about my pastor. So just consider that. David is your shepherd. Now I'm sitting here, and I have two Sundays left. And I'm trying to be very hard not to be emotional, but hey. So I already know what I'm going to preach next Sunday. I've already planned it up, know exactly what it is. I've been planning it for a while, my exit sermon. But I'm thinking here, what can I do for my last sermon here? God, what is one sermon if I can put together and be a gift that it speaks to my heart? And it's a sermon this morning. It's about what is our value? What is our worth? We struggle in this world because they put some type of judgment on us, and they're always having us to question our value and our worth. We're measured every day. And to the world, we're measured in a way that finds us being failures of what they expect to be of something that's worthful or valuable. So one of the best ways to start this is I have two illustrations. One, you might, both of them you probably understand, probably pick up on it. But one is The Path of a Ranger. Has anybody ever heard the series of books called The Path of the Ranger? Anybody? I mean, I'm the only. It's a fantasy. It's about a young man who wants to be a ranger. One of the things in this book is that there are things called shapeshifters. And they're actually kind of a blob. And what they do is they get around, and when they notice someone, they take on your shape. And so you can't, you know, they identify with that shape. So someone come along, the blob would come along, and suddenly they see David, and they take on the shape of a David. You go, what does that mean? Well, the world wants to shape you. Another Transformers, everyone knows Transformers. So the Transformers, as they come down, you know, he sits there and he looks at a Camaro or he looks at a semi and they change and transform to that image. Well, that's what the world wants to do. And if we think the world doesn't want us to do that, then we are fooled greatly. The world wants to shape us. The world is trying to shape us. The world is trying to give you the value that they believe you want so they can go ahead and dictate the way that you should live. We are conformed by this world. And that world has always messed up our understanding of who we are, our worth, and our value. And it's one of the greatest ways. If I can somehow make you believe that you are valuable to me, okay, if I can make that, if you're valuable to me, I'm going to go ahead and convince you to believe in what I have for you. Buy the product that I have for you. Believe in the philosophy that I have for you. But when I make you that valuable, when I show you that worth, because we struggle with that worth, one of the most awkward, weirdest religions in this world is called Scientology. It is crazy weird. And the reason why I talk about it, I lived in Clearwater, Florida, where it is the mecca of Scientology. And they do that. They know that there's so many young people out there that struggle with their value. So what they do is they prey on these people. They look to them, and once they get to them, say, hey, you are a valuable person, and we'll make you more valuable if you become a part of my religion, our religion. It's a crazy, and I'll make it clear, stupid religion. Because basically it said that we have a machine that we can hook up to you, and we can determine if you're clear or not. And if you continue to follow us, you're going to get clearer and clearer and clearer. And someone goes, wake me up, this is stupid. But the important part of this, is that there's a world out there knows that we struggle with our worth. We struggle with our value. It is a part of the sin nature that we have. Right here, God creates us, and he makes us feel valuable. We are in his presence, and sin comes into the world. We break us, and we're looking for ways to affirm who we are as people. We struggle with that. The school, your peers, if you don't really understand your worth, your peers are going to make you feel important. And in that, your peers can shape you in a way that causes great harm to you. TV and movies are always in a process of shaping you. This is the right way to do it. This is how you should look. Women, if you want to be beautiful, buy this product. Wear this clothes. Do all these things, and then you have value. Guys, if you want value, buy the right truck. You got to have a pickup, or you got to have the right car. You got to get that sports car. They put all this into it so that you can feel valuable, and you think that your worth is gained by getting these things. That's how people sell things. They try to make you feel that you're missing something in your life, and the thing that I'm selling to you or giving to you is going to make you more valuable. You're going to have greater worth. You don't have any value unless you go to college. If you're a blue-collar worker, you have less value. I know what that feels like. In the armed forces, if you're an NCO kid, you got less value as an officer's kid. They make it very clear in the armed forces. I grew up with that. There's always a situation, and Satan loves it, is that Satan wants to destroy our understanding of our value, and then hang on to something, grab onto something that we think that gives us value, and the crazy thing about that thing will fail. If we put our value in our work, we put our value in our husband, we put our value into relationship, now those are important, but when it becomes our sole source of a value, they will fail. God said this very clearly. God says there's a whole different way, a whole different way of getting value. One of the greatest enemies when it comes to understanding our value is our flesh. We know it. When we mess up, when we sin, when we trip up, guilt comes into our life. And guilt is not from God. And guilt basically says, you are no good. You messed up again. You are a failure. You got to get it right. If you don't get it right, no one's going to love you. That guilt, and I think some of us knows what it feels like, is not there to lift us up, but it's there to pull us down. That's what guilt does. It minimizes and destroys the understanding of our value. But instead, God has a whole different, beautiful thing for us. And we heard it. And one of the best places to start is in Genesis. And this is where we get, let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God's intent for humanity has always been. I don't care what philosopher, what professor, our intent, our purpose for humanity was God wanted a family. God wanted children, sons and daughters. We are so distinctly different than any creature in this world. And God says, I want a family. You're my son. You're my daughter. And I give you value because I'm your creator and I'm your father. In the garden, we have great value because of that. We have a great understanding of our worth. But what sin does, it completely destroys it. I want to show you something. I have this ring, this key right here. Only a couple of us here in the church has this key. It's the master key. And the master key gives me access to everything in this church. It's crazy. I can open every door in this church. It takes a lot of trust in me. I can go downstairs, go in the refrigerator, and cook me up a dinner. I have 3 showers I can use. I have a bedroom I can go to. I can go into my office. I can go into the little cooler that's in there in the office and grab me a Diet Coke. But it gives me access to everything in this church. By next Monday, I don't have this key. It's gone. I will not have access to this building ever again. The only time I have access is when you invite me here. This is completely taken away from me. Why do I say that? We had access to the presence of God. We had access to his kingdom. It was all there. It was taken away from us when sin came into our life. And yet, I'll be clear about it. People out there thinking that, I know God. I want to be a part of God's life. I have a sense of God. If they don't have Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, the God they're choosing is a whatever God it may be. And we will create gods in our life because we want a God to justify us and give us value and worth. But God says, unless you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will not have an understanding and you will not have access to me as Father. There's only one way to do that. And that's why this passage here is so powerful. Romans 8. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. He says this beautifully. Then he goes, we're all led by the Spirit of God, our sons and daughters of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoptions as sons and daughters, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Because of Jesus Christ, we have the right and privilege to call God Father. God says, because of that, I give you this key back. You get this key back. You get complete access to me and to the kingdom of God. You lost it, but you will have it because of my son, Jesus Christ. This is the reason why we have great value. So this morning, the theme is this. God, our Father in heaven, gives us our value and worth. I'll give you a little secret. And some of you may know this, but there's times I get insecure. There's times I struggle with my worth. All my life, I've struggled with that. And it gets better and better and better. Because God brings me into that beautiful position of his presence. And I know that all of us here unless someone's here has perfect understanding of who their worth is. We struggle with our worth. We struggle with insecurities. We have a world out there that keeps reminding us that you're not valuable. They'll let you know. I don't care how smart you are, there's always going to be a smarter person. I don't know how great of you as an athlete, there's going to be another athlete that's going to be better for you. I don't care how much money you make, there's going to be someone else that has better money. There's always something that's going to try to make you feel less valuable. And I struggle with that sometimes. I struggle with that. And God reminds me through this prayer. This prayer is one of the most powerful prayers that we'll ever, ever have in our life. But before we go there, there are people out there that have phenomenal power and authority, and they make you feel awful. They want to make sure that somehow you're second best. They want to make sure that you're less valuable than them. We know some of those people. It could be a person who's a smart person. It could be a person who's a jock, a person who is, you know, in a business that has a higher a level of whatever it is, has a larger church. We have people there, and they want to make sure that you feel less valuable. There are people like that. And I don't think that's an appropriate way of living a life. But there are people that have that phenomenal, phenomenal value that's amazing, and you know that, but they don't make you feel that way. Billy Graham, I don't know if you know that, but Dr. Tepley, him and another pastor brought Billy Graham into Anchorage. I'm going to give, just, I love my father-in-law. Brought Billy Graham into Anchorage, I forgot when. Anybody remember that happened? Well, my father and this other pastor were the two leading people that got together, and he's got a picture of him and his pastor and Billy Graham. And I asked Dad, what was so special about Billy Graham? Billy Graham, as you know, is one of the most renowned person in this world. He has done great things to the kingdom of God. My dad said this. He said, he made me feel more important than he was. When he got around me, I felt like I was so important. I'm looking at this guy who is renowned, well-known through this world. And he made me feel important, that I was valuable. That's how God wants us to feel. And when we get in God's presence, we understand our value. That is why the Lord's Prayer is crazy awesome. Crazy awesome. It is one of the most profound, most perfect, the best, and I'll throw all kinds of weird words out there, but it is the prayer. It is an amazing prayer, and we take it for granted. Because the first thing that happens in the Lord's Prayer, the first thing is our Father who art in heaven. Every time we pray that prayer, immediately God reminds us of our value as a son and daughter. That prayer is powerful. And we pray it immediately. When we think about it, when we know about it, we go, I'm your child. You chose me. I'm your son. Your mercy and grace brought me into this world. You're my Father in heaven. You're the creator that created all things, who brought me back in a right relation with you, who looked beyond my stuff that I have, my sinfulness, and brought me into a relationship. And you call me son. And the Lord's Prayer does that. It immediately puts us in a position where we go, yeah, and then we pray because we know our value. So I challenge you this week. Every Monday, I start the week with Our Father who art in heaven. That's the first prayer. Tuesday, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. So every week I start something, but I want you to do this for 1 week. Just do this. Tomorrow when you wake up, if you can remember, start with Our Father who art in heaven. Just start that. And every day, go through that prayer. And by next Sunday, give me a gift. This is the gift that I want. Come to me and say, that prayer I prayed every day, that prayer has raised the value of my worth. That prayer put me in the presence of my Father in heaven. That gave me such an amazing understanding of how I can approach this God who loves me so deeply. Come to me next Sunday and say, "Pastor Peter, I prayed that prayer. I did it for the whole week. And I want you to know, it really done something to my heart." If there's a gift you can give to me, the gift is you understanding your value and worth and reminded every day through the Lord's Prayer. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for this day and this time, for inviting us into your presence. Father, we heard you, we saw you, and we felt your presence. Thank you. We don't deserve it, but you love us so dearly. We pray this in your Son's name. Now, Kathy asked me if I could choose out a song that I can go ahead and have for at the ending song. And I chose a song, and I said, I would love it if you could jazz it up a little bit. So I don't know how this is going to go, but I trust Kathy, because I love this hymn. It's a great hymn. Please rise.